Okay. There is pen and paper at the back, and I see that Sophie is availing herself of that, which is great, Sophie. Thank you for doing that. Fantastic. You'll have to show us all afterwards. Now, Angela has also got pen and paper there. And there is a reason for that. Because in September 2022, the church took the decision to hold a monthly prayer evening, a monthly one, praying on behalf of the fellowship here, seeking God's will for us and learning to discern what he wanted from us. That monthly prayer evening grew into a twice monthly over the next 4 years. And then actually it grew into a third session. So it was three in the month. The third one was when folk were felt called to pray and walk, do prayer walks for the locality around the church here. So that is what we were doing. And we have just recently stopped that. But the two sessions, prayer sessions, have been going for the last, well, until now, and will continue to go. I keep a record of how many folk are at those meetings. And I can say to you that so far this year, we have spent 110 hours in collective prayer. That is equivalent to 4 days of 24 hours and 14 hours worth. Now that sounds quite a lot, doesn't it? And it might be that we've got reason then to think, oh, pat on the backs, 110 hours, that represents those people who are there. It's a minimum of 110, and the hour that we pray for. But when you equate that, it's roughly 10 people committing to pray on behalf of the fellowship twice a month. It's a start, but it's a good start. And in that time, God has certainly sought to lead us and to teach us. During those times of prayers, we don't just bring a wish list. Prayer is not about a wish list. That is just a no-no. That is not what God requires. What he requires is for us to learn to listen to him and to share what we believe collectively we have heard him say to us. And what is on his heart for this fellowship. And as such, these are exciting times, therefore. Because as we sit and as we pray and as we're led, we hear from God. What is he saying to us? What is he doing collectively within the fellowship? And we grow deeper into him. And I think those of us who have gathered would probably say that we have got deeper into fellowship with him as a result of being together and praying together. And when I was asking the Lord, well, in August it's free time, we can do what we like, if you like, and I said, well, okay, Lord, what do I do? And I simply heard eventually God say to me, speak what you have heard me say to you all. So, are you ready? Are you ready? We're going to sing a song. My God is so big, so strong, so mighty, there's nothing that he cannot do. I know there are some actions to this, but Sophie, I'll let you stay at the back. You can do the actions if you want to. Right, fair enough. We won't bother with the actions. Let's just stand and sing.
My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, my God, there cannot do. The mountains are his, the rivers are his, the stars are his handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing that he cannot do.
Shall we sing it again? Yes.
My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, my God, there nothing can, sorry. The mountains are his, the rivers are his, the stars are his handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do.
Last time.
Oh.
My God is
so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, my God can make everything new. Mountains are his, the rivers are his, the stars are his handiwork too. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do.
Amen? That was a very weak amen.
Amen.
Thank you. There really is nothing that our God cannot do. Okay. God speaks to us in many ways. He speaks to us through song. He speaks to us through scripture, through pictures, through visions, through words. And after each prayer evening, we record everything that we believe God has revealed to us in our time of prayer together. And often we have similar thoughts, similar images, scriptures that all confirm, if you like, what God has been saying. The songs that we're singing today are songs that people, you know, sometimes when you're with the Lord, that a song comes into your head and it's a bit like an earworm and it just keeps on going round in your head and you can't think of anything else. Now, there are some folk who come and are part of the prayer group that they have earworm songs. And at the end of a session, they'll often say, I can't get this song out of my head. And we've written it down. So all the songs that we are singing this day are songs that we can't get out of our head at different times. So my God is so big, so strong and so mighty, is one that has been going through people's head. Wake up. Songs that are going through people's heads. How great thou art. Wow, you know, and they all add to the richness of what God is saying to us. Look at the words that we sing. Look at the words. Don't just sing them. What are they saying to us? And that is why there's pen and paper there, because we have pen and paper out on a prayer evening. And you may be a person that sees pictures, or you might be someone who draws during worship, or you might have a verse of scripture. Will you please feel free to grab a piece of paper and to write down what you believe God is saying to you? Because we believe as a Baptist church in the priesthood of all believers. That means that it's not just about whoever's standing up here at the front, or the deacons, or the people in the prayer meeting. We all have a part to play. Each one of us can hear God speak. It's the priesthood of all believers. We are all his chosen people, royal priesthoods. So therefore, if God speaks to you, write it down. Tell us, let us know, because it adds to the great picture that God is giving to us. So from now on, everything that I share with you is what God, we believe, has revealed to us in these last 4 years. So, somebody has scripture number one. These are scriptures that are given to us. Is it you?
Yeah, moved it.
Sorry, thank you. Listen to this.
This is Isaiah 12, verses 3 to 4. Withdraw water from the wells of salvation. In that day you will say, give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted.
Thank you. Somebody has number two. Oh. Yes, you do. And then, if you keep hold of it, and then hand it on to three at the right, it's on.
John chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you water."
Yeah, that'd be fine. Thank you. Yes, but you don't need it yet. But you can have the microphone. Okay, two scriptures. All right. One is from Isaiah 12, verses 3 and 4, and one from John 4, verse 10. Both about, "Therefore with joy will you draw water from the well of salvation." And then Jesus saying, "You can drink, you can drink." In February 2024, we received a picture of the church here as a well. And the well had been capped over. So we couldn't access water. The ground around it was dry, it was parched. We know that feeling, don't we, at this moment in time? And during that time in 2024, we saw the cap removed by God, not us, by God. And we had the offer to drink the water that was found there. And the picture went on. Buckets were being pulled up, or the bucket was being pulled up out of the water, out of the well, so that we could drink. Some of the water slopped over the sides. And where the water slopped, flowers started to spring up. Beautiful flowers on bare ground, parched ground. And over the next 2 years, until even today, we've had more of these pictures, similar in nature. Water spilling over and the ground covered in flowers. And as the water goes out, the flowers get further away as well, covered in beautiful flowers. Very recently, we've had a picture of us lifting these buckets and giving them to a long line of people who are waiting to receive. Now, if that doesn't encourage you, nothing will. My illustration. I've got some flowers at home. Well, I've got some peace lilies at home. Look at that. Leaves aren't shiny because I haven't polished them, but pretty nice. I don't know what's happened with this one. I just, pretty rotten. There's one decent one. And this one, well, anybody tell me what's wrong with that? I reckon it might need water, personally. And you know what? I think that's a fairly dramatic illustration of what Jesus is saying to us. You need to drink. We need to drink. Because if we don't drink, we receive the Spirit and drink in his power, his presence. That's what Jesus says in that John passage to the woman at the well. The water I give you isn't just natural water, this is the Spirit. That's what happens to us, you know. It's still alive, but it's not, is it? You know, it's not glorious. That is weak. And I hope I haven't killed it by not giving it the water that it needs. Peace lilies tell you when they need water, they do this, but they never do that. I've starved it of water deliberately. It needs a drink. We need a drink. Because we need to be like that, not like this. That's glorious. This is dead. And that picture that God has given us is an invitation to drink. An invitation to drink. Which would you prefer to take home? I know which one I'd prefer to take home, but I will take them both. Hayley, can I ask you to read number 3? All these been received over these last 4 years.
So it's Isaiah 55 verse 1. Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk, without money and without cost.
Are we thirsty? Who's got number 4, please? Up, Ethan at the back. Sorry, thanks, Hayley.
John 7, verses 37 to 39. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time that the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified.
Thank you. Okay. Simple question. Are we thirsty? Sit in the Lord's presence and drink deep from him. Allow him to refresh and renew. And see how we grow as we receive the inpouring of the Holy Spirit. We were going to sing a song, but I don't think we will. But if, Richard, you'd put the first... We're going to sing the first verse. No, Richard, the song. Sorry, always. We're going to have the song. Sorry. The first verse of this next song, In Christ Alone. The first verse and the last verse. Let's speak this out together. Let's say it rather than sing it. Okay, just the first and the last verse. Okay, so in Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Is this the last verse? It is, isn't it? Yeah. My guilt in life, no guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. Thank you. Thank you. Do you see what we've just declared? Here in the power of Christ. So as we go out from this place today, it's not about us, it's about standing in the power of Christ. Who's got number five? That is John. Yes, Richard, thank you. This is
John 8. Okay, so here we go. John 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
Thank you. And who's got number six, please? Oh, that's Veronica. Sorry, thank you, Rick.
Don't worry, I've got it. Don't limp across.
Is it on? Just forgot my glasses. No, not enough to need them. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path.
Thank you. That's it. Thank you. So the first sort of theme that we found running through our sessions was water and coming and taking the water. The second theme, major theme, is light that we have received from God, this idea of light. We've frequently received the image of a bright light shining out from the church here, a beacon for people to see, to be attracted to. And in February and March of this year, we were reminded of God's Shekinah glory. Now, that's the glory of God reaching down to earth, if you like, touch earth. And it's what happened really when Moses was on the mountain and he came down and his face was shining and everybody was saying, woo. Or when Jesus took Peter, James and John up onto the mountain and the transfiguration. And, you know, Jesus shone. It was that sort of idea of the light of Christ, the light of God, just shining all around us. In the old, you'll remember it, there was a Ready Breck advert. Do you remember the Ready Breck glow for those of us who are older enough? Yeah. It's like that. It's almost like God's reflection, if you like, shining out from amongst us. And that we too will glow with God's presence. Glow with God's presence as we seek him out. Because that light, not only does it shine out into our community, but it also attracts. The light shines in the darkness. People come to the light. What's going on? And in May this year, we received a picture of a huge lit fountain with you, the fellowship, holding out your hands, cupped to drink the life-giving water. And as I was writing these down and picking them out and trying to pull them together to see the threads, I suddenly realized that light and water are both essential for life. We can't survive without them. Spiritual life and spiritual water, therefore, are essential for our life. And it's on offer to us so that we can point others to the source. Isaiah 60 was another verse that was given to us, and it says, verse 1, arise, for the glory of the Lord is shining upon you. The glory of the Lord is shining on you, because that's the promise. We're going to sing a song. We've had recurrent images, and a scripture is one that's recurred quite a lot throughout this, and it's in Ephesians, and it's chapter 5. And in verse 14, there is a call for us to wake up. Wake up. We sung the song at the very beginning. Wake up. And We believe that we heard that the Lord say to the church, literally say to the church, wake up, shake yourself down, get ready to move. I'm on the move, get ready to come with me. That was in June last year. And in January this year, we heard another from God. Get up, no time to pack, hold on and start marching. So we've had our orders last year, and now he said to us, get up, you've got time to pack, don't get your bits together, a bit like the folk who had the fire in the house, they didn't have time to get anything, get on, get out there, follow me. And this was reinforced, if you like, by a picture that was given to us in April this year of a butterfly emerging from its chrysalis. God is transforming us, and he will continue to do his work in us. He reminded us that we don't make the butterfly. He does that. He just needs us to work our way out of the chrysalis stage. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 13 given to us. Notice the way God does things, then fall into line. Don't fight the ways of God, for who can straighten out the things he has made crooked? Effectively, see what God is doing, then fall into line behind him. That seems to me to be very good advice. We do not know what is to happen next? But God has it all planned. Now that was something that was said at the same time. We do not know what is to happen next, but God has it all planned. And in view of the passing of Keith on the 30th of June, wasn't that prophetic? Finally, in May, we heard God say two things to the fellowship. Let go of the safe things and expect the unexpected. I'm going to finish with three verses of scripture. And these last three verses have been a thread that's been running through these last 4 years of our prayer times. And as such, I truly believe, I thought it at the time and I still do, that these are a template for us, as how we are to act towards one another and towards God. My prayer is, Father, may we hear them and may we act upon them. Who's got number 7, please?
Number 7 is Colossians 3, verse 15. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as members of one body you are called to live in peace and always be thankful.
Thank you. Who's got number 8?
Mine is Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God gratitude in your hearts.
Thank you. And finally, our last one.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And whatever you do, whether in the word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Thank you. Colossians 3, verses 15 to 17, I think, are a template for us as a fellowship. This is how we are to react and be towards one another, and how we in turn bring our worship to God. So can I urge you to go away and meditate this week on those three verses, if nothing else. Colossians 3, verses 15, 16 and 17, saying, Lord, please show me how I can fulfill these scripts. At our last prayer time, we felt very strongly to go back to a really old song. Bind us together, Lord. Bind us together, because we need to know that we are bound by the Lord and not by just our desire to be here together. Years and years and years ago, we used to sing this song and we'd hold hands across the aisle. Now, if you feel comfortable doing that, you're going to have to move, I'm sorry. But can I ask you to make sure that you, if you want to, that you're holding someone else's hand as we sing this? This is a declaration, if you like, to ourselves and to one another and to God, that we are asking Him to bind us to one another.